Junior Cake, we have a Junior, and boy, we have the energy of a 12-year-old. I listen to some of these guys, man. You know, I listen to some of these guys, right? And they're like doing comedy, and they're running out of energy. They're running out of these guys. So I'm talking about these old dogs, right? You know, the old dogs, new tricks kind of thing. Okay, you can be an old dog and still like have new tricks. It's possible. Hey, first, the attitude of gratitude, you guys. So we want to say mahalo to all of our new listeners. We don't have any new stats with us. We just got back from a 1 week hiatus, and then 1 week before that, right? We had a week, and then before that, we did a podcast. So anyway, but you know, we want to talk story. So I got this comment, and we have comments on Instagram. You can find me on Instagram, Here For You, right? On Instagram, Here For You 808 on Instagram. Also, you can find me at jrkjr.com, which is where most people find me and where they leave comments the most. So one of my comments was Unks, because these young guys, they call me Unks, right? And he's like, Unks, bro, when you gonna do funny stuff on a podcast? And I said, well, I do funny stuff on the podcast, but it's a life coaching podcast, right? So we talk, you know, more about life coaching and stuff like that. And he goes, yeah, but you know, more fun when you do comedy. So I'm like, my comedy is like old school. My comedy is like, so you know, I do voices, I do all that kind of stuff, right? But those people are dead right now. they're gone, you know? So it's kind of, I don't know. I'll throw some, you know, here and there or whatever. Also want to say how's it to the people in Hawaii on Facebook, because they have been reacting to the podcast. They have been writing, you know, the uncles. So these, and when I say uncles, I mean guys my age, okay, and older. And they will write comments in my messenger on Facebook. And you know, they go, mean the podcast. That's all they do. That's all they say, mean the podcast. The younger guys, the guys in their 30s, they write to me on Instagram and they go, ho, Unks, brah, the podcast. And then they start making comments and, you know, like that. And I guess the young guys really liked what I was talking about, you know, relationships, males and females and alpha males, sigma males, beta males, all that stuff. And you guys got to know that, there is a movement right now, okay, that you're going to be censored if you say things like blue pill, red pill kind of thing, right? It's going around. So I'm going to stay away from that. But I will tell you, okay, like the movie, let's talk about the movie, The Matrix, right? And the red and blue pill. Okay, so the red pill represents like the hardcore truth about what's really going on. Now, the blue pill represents things that the average person thinks, or the average person, let's see, the knowledge for the average person, right? Because the average guy is living in the matrix, okay? And there is a matrix, and it is constructed in your head, okay? But there is a matrix, right? When you take the red, so my uncle red pilled me, and this is part of life coaching, okay? But we're gonna try and, you know, we're gonna talk about other things too relative to life coaching. But my uncle red pilled me at 13, and at 13 years old, I was like, what? And so, and we want to, you know, we want to change the context, okay? So what I'm going to do is I'm going to look for a suitable substitute for red and blue, right? Like that, okay? And we will come up with that later. But right now, but my uncle did that. I'll just tell you about my uncle. My uncle was my my mentor, and my first mentor. So he's my mother's youngest brother, and he was my mentor. And he sat me down, and you know, the first thing he said was, he handed me a book. This is the way it started, and this was my first like exposure to the rabbit hole. Like, there's all kinds of rabbit holes for all kinds of stuff, but he goes, here, you're smart, read this. Because I was one of those guys that, you know, because I used to tell him about stuff. Oh, no, uncle, this works like this. And you know, when you're 13, right, and you think you know, you know, when you think you know, right? Trust me, Hawaiians, I've worked with people that thought they knew for years and years and years. I mean, oh, man. So, and it's interesting, right? Because my uncle exposed me to, like, the cold hard truth about stuff, right? So, you know, the red, okay, we'll find a suitable synonym for that shortly, but anyway, in the coming podcasts. Anyway, so my uncle does this, right? And I read this book. It was on the Trilateral Commission, and I read the book and I was like, whoa, there's more to this story, there's more to this thing. And then, so I, you know, which led me to another thing. Now, in the old days, we didn't have YouTube. We did not have the internet. We did not have this kind of information that the kids are growing up with now. I mean, young kids know this stuff. They're like, oh, yeah, that. I mean, because, and they don't even care. These kids do not care. Okay. Because they, you know, they read this thing. Yeah, okay, yeah, we know. The kids today, now here's the thing about the kids and adults. And this is something you guys need to pay attention to. If more young people accessed more, you know, older people, okay, and they worked with older mentors instead of young mentors that really haven't had life experience yet, and then if on the other side of the coin, if the older, or the other side of the spectrum, the older guys, right, go partner with young kids, and I'm talking about the 19-year-olds, the 20-year-olds, the 25-year-olds, okay, because their world is not like ours was. It's not. It's totally different. Okay. So I'm life coaching a 19-year-old, and this guy is amazing. He's an amazing guy. Okay. Now what he does, he's in college and he goes to college classes. He goes to his lectures. He goes, you know, does all college stuff. Right. And then he comes back, he does his homework and everything, and spends his evenings on Twitter doing business, like learning marketing, doing business stuff, marketing, and they have a group. And so I told him, I said, you know, I'm so happy that you're involved in these things and doing this kind of stuff, because when I was 19, it was about girls smoking weed, and well, maybe not so much smoking weed, but a little here and there, right? But it was about girls, it was about clubbing, it was about going out and drinking and passing out on the beach. And I mean, you know, stuff like that, right? So the world was different. We have evolved as a species, ladies and gentlemen. We have evolved. That's right. And it's a good thing. I mean, I think it's a good thing. These 19-year-olds are not out looking for girls, okay? Now, there are some, okay? But the higher demographic, the higher vibrational kids, okay? They're not looking for chicks. They're not looking to club. They're not doing all of that. Okay. That's a different demographic. And the demographic that I came from, or let's say that, you know, how you're the sum total of your friends, right? Your closest friends. Okay. So the guys that I hung out with in high school, I had two sets. I had two different, you know, one was at the beach and we were doing all that, the girl stuff, the drinking, the, you know, partying, that kind of thing. And then I had my more balanced friends that were they were all into stuff like, you know, cars. They used to read car magazines and they had car posters and they had Porsches on their bedroom wall, on post, that kind of thing, you know. And so I had that kind of friends, right? And I was like, okay. Then I had the kind of friends that played music and partied and whatever, and then I'd go, you know, with them. And sometimes, you know, I had friends that would dive, that would go diving, like skin divers, that kind of thing. And then I had friends that would go hunting in the mountains and, you know, that kind of stuff. So I had a pretty, you know, I floated between cliques in my childhood where I come from. And so, but now these kids are doing like advanced level stuff, okay? These 19-year-olds are doing marketing, and they're on Twitter, and they're making money. And by the time these guys are like 25, 28 years old, okay, these guys are pretty well set with their patterns, with their paradigm. Their paradigm is set. And so he came to me seeking help, right? And he was seeking help with, you know, okay, you know, how do I do this? How do I do that? The how-tos, right? And so so we've been having some pretty awesome conversations and pretty awesome, you know, pretty awesome stuff going on as far as, you know, life coaching goes, right? And I've been coaching this guy, and I said, well, you know, it really is, is my pleasure to do something like this, because I couldn't do this with my son. I could not. I mean, and, you know, and most parents cannot do this with their kids. Okay. And I was never, I want to make this clear. And here's my disclaimer. I was never a father. I never got to be a father. And my son's mom made sure, I mean, it was like an insurance policy on her side, made sure my son hated me. So by the time my son met me, like, he was all angry. He was already angry with me, and I didn't, you know, didn't do anything, right? So, and it kind of went like that, like the whole, yeah, 9 yards. But everybody, you know, they have a dream, right? Parents always have dreams for their kids. Okay, so parents, number one, if you're a parent out there, stop dreaming. Stop dreaming for your kid, okay? Just knock it off. All right, because the kids today do not need your dream. They don't need your dream, okay? They have their own thing going on. They're aware of their own stuff, okay? And they have their own idea of how they want to get there. And they have their own ideas of, you know, what they want. They just don't know the avenue to get there, right? And if you're a parent, it's a very tough situation. Because if you're a parent, you cannot see into their world. You don't know their world. I'll tell you that right now. You do not know their world, okay? And I see their world, right? Because I work with these guys. I work with young people. I work with a lot of young people. And I see their world, and I'm in awe. I'm like, whoa. Because, you know, on one hand, right, we see the world going in a certain direction. On the other hand, right, we know what we grew up in, and we go, hey, we're losing that. You know, so the older people are like, hey, we're losing it. This is screwed up. Like, we're, you know, the kids are doing this now. And it's not so much that it's screwed up. It's that it's different. And I remember my grandfather telling me, you know, my grandfather, you see, my grandfather was a trip. I love my grandfather, right? But I couldn't talk to him. Like, nobody could talk to him. My grandfather was on his own frequency, right? And my grandfather used to tell me, all your friends are dope fiends. He goes, all your friends are dope fiends. But that's how my grandfather, you know, was. And some of my friends were dope fiends, all right? But they were more acquaintances than friends, right? Like, my friends' friends, yeah, they smoked weed and stuff. I mean, we did that in high school. But they weren't dope fiends, right? But in my grandfather's mind, like, because he saw the music of the 60s and the, you know, the 50s and whatever. And my grandfather grew up in a much tamer world, much different world. It was tamer in one respect, right? And it was harsher in others. But in his world, when the world started changing, he saw all the changes that happened. And my grandfather saw hippies come to Hawaii. That was a trip. But my grandfather made good use of certain, you know, like, he used certain things to advantage. My grandfather picked up hitchhikers, right, in his truck. And he used to let them, like, ride in the back. And this was in Maui, on the island of Maui. I don't know if you guys know where that is. If not, you know, Google. Maui is the name of the island. And he lived in a place called Hana, which is like a remote section of this island, right? And so we'd be in the pickup truck, and he worked for the phone company. We used to be driving down the street, and these hippies used to be like on the side of the road, like walking. And sometimes it was just girls, because it wasn't this world. It was a different world, and the girls were safe. So these girls would be walking, right? And they would just be wearing t-shirts, because that was a thing, right? And they wouldn't have any, you know, bras on or whatever. And my grandfather would pick up these girls, and they, hey, you know, jump in the back. And so there was no threat, right? There's not like, hey, you know, you wanna ride? And it was a car, right? So they would jump in the back, and my grandfather would be looking in the mirror, and I would not know, like, why he was looking in the rearview mirror all the time, right? I was a young kid, right? And I thought he was looking in the rearview mirror to make sure the girls didn't fall out, right? Like, to make sure they were holding on. And I didn't get it until one day he did that. And I looked through the cab, through the window, right, out the back, and to see what the heck is my grandfather looking at, right? And my grandfather was a player. My grandfather was looking at these girls bounce up and down in the back of the truck, right? Because they just had t-shirts, that's it, right? And boy, did they bounce, right? And I looked back and I go, oh, that's what Grandpa's looking at, right? And so I cracked up, man, because my grandfather used it to his advantage. I mean, you know, anyway, but it was a different world is what I'm saying. Okay. Now, fast forward to, you know, 2023, right? These kids are learning advanced things. Now, the children of today know way more than we do, like way. I mean, they were born with tablets. I work with 3-year-olds and 5-year-olds in my voice training business. And I'm the only one that takes 3-year-olds, 4-year-olds, and 5-year-olds. Everybody else starts at 6, like locally over here. And if you go on, I did not know about 5-year-old guitar players. I did not know something existed like that, right? Until one of my students, like I started working with her when she was 3, and then she turned 4. I caught her on the tail end of 3 years old. And I started working with her. And her mom was like amazed. Like, you know, I got this confidence going with her, right? And I built her confidence, started working with her stuff. And it takes someone who can get in the mind of a 3-year-old and who can be open enough to and patient enough to work with a 3-year-old, right? And so I start communicating with this girl. Now, part of this thing, right, and my whole deal, right, sometimes I joke with parents, and I said, well, it works with 3, it works with 5, it works with 25, it works with 35 and 40. And they get me, and they laugh, right, because, and they go, you know, they get it. But once you know how to work with a female, I don't care if it, you know, I had an uncle once who used to ride horses, right, Uncle David, we'll call him Uncle David. And Uncle David used to just jump on any horse at the ranch and ride. I mean, and the horses all loved him, right? And we used to wonder, like, how does he do this? And he used to tell us, boy, well, he told me, right? He used to tell me, boy, all the horses are the same. And I'm like, no, because that one bucks and this one runs and this one cannot, you know, hard time to do this, that. He goes, no. He goes, they are all the same. And that's all he told me. And that's all he said, right? And then, you know, years later, I started learning about horses. But when I was in the training pen, right, with my horse, when I bought my horse, and I was in the training pen with the instructor, and I was trying to have my horse come to me, you know, I was calling my horse. And I said this on another podcast, but I'm going to repeat it because people don't normally binge podcasts, okay? So you know, and I'm walking towards the horse, trying to call the horse, and the horse is walking further away, and he goes, wait, what are you trying to do? Call your horse? I'm like, yeah. He goes, all right, stand still. Oh, so I stood still. He goes, all right, now face your back to her. And I face my back to the, so basically I'm ignoring my horse, right? And he goes, just wait there. And I waited, and I was patient, and I waited, and pretty soon I hear my horse breathing on my shoulder. And I turn around and there she is. And then it clicked in my head and I turned around and I looked at my trainer and I said, you mean this is like working with chicks? And he goes, exactly. And I'm like, oh, okay, I get him. And from that day on, me and my horse got along fine. All right, so anyway, but I'm just saying, like, the kids today and the stuff that they're working on, right? All they need is a mentor, right, to share some life experience and give them a little forecasting, right? It's like, okay, look, if you're going to do this, you're going to get this result. And here's the biggest thing, right, of kids today, because I worked with that, like I was talking about that 3-year-old, right, who turned into a 4-year-old, and now she's 5, and I'm still working with her. And she's, like, excelling leaps and bounds, right? And the thing about the 5-year-old guitar player, because I got to keep track of all of this in real time with my ADHD. All right, so the thing with this 5-year-old guitarist, right? Well, this girl, this 5-year-old, her mom asks me, can you teach her guitar? And I'm like, well, you know, her hands, I don't know if they're big enough to go around the guitar, blah, 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 whatever. All right, then after we had that conversation and I hung up, I went online, I went on YouTube, and I searched 5-year-old guitar players because I wanted to see if there's other 5-year-olds out there, you know, like jamming guitar, right? Oh, Hawaiians, you gotta try. Just try search, right? Because I saw a 4-year-old drummer on TikTok, right? And so I, you know, but when I search for 5-year-old guitar players, okay, there are 5-year-old like virtuoso guitarists, okay, in the world. You gotta go look, bro. This is unreal. This is unreal, Hawaii. So check it out. And when I went on and I saw these 5-year-olds, I'm like, whoa, this is totally perfect for, you know, my student, right? And but anyway, it's a thing. Okay, so there's little 5-year-olds and their hands don't have to be big enough to, you know, for the guitar, because what they're doing is they're doing a lot of open chordings, right? But the thing, you know, is they have to be strong enough to press hard enough to, you know, create clean tones and stuff like that. But wow, I saw these kids and I'm like, damn, like in my days, right? Like there were no 5-year-old guitar players, like at all, ever. I never saw one. And I did not see any 5-year-old guitarists until I like went on YouTube, right? Until I got the idea from this girl's mom, right? And anyway, so I, you know, my point is that the kids today grow up with tablets and they see everything and they get inspired. Okay, now all you have to do with a human being is show them something, right? And go, okay, look here, look, so-and-so is doing that. Look at that, right? And this always happened at my singing school. When I started my singing school business, like way, way back, right? So other people would bring their kids to me, and I would hear them saying to their kids, like, yeah, you remember so-and-so? She can sing. Just to get their kids going, right? And I think some of their kids, you know, like when that used to happen to me when I was a kid, you know, so-and-so was making straight A's. I used to get all riled up, right? I used to get rebellious, okay? But some of these kids, I saw their parents talk to them, and then they get inspired, and then they, you know, they excel. They just go. They turn it on. Switch goes on, and, you know, the rest is, as they say, history, right? But these kids today, they see these things, okay? So your kid has way more knowledge at their age, at their young age, than you did at your young age, and then it kind of goes from there. So by the time, you know, like this 19-year-old guy I'm working with, like, I think he's phenomenal, right? I think this guy is like, he knows so much, you know, and he'll come out and he'll tell me stuff, and it's from his knowledge base, and he's amazing. And then, you know, I need to, you know, go, okay, well, one of the first things that I recognize about these guys, right, they have that knowledge base. They've seen everything online. They've studied everything online. They've accumulated all this information, okay? But when it comes to application, okay, because knowledge is not power. It's the application of knowledge that's power. When it comes to the application, they don't know how to apply what they've accumulated, what they've learned, okay? They don't know how to, they haven't applied it yet, okay? And application is what you call experience, because as you go, right, as you take those steps, you throw down the knowledge, you use the knowledge as you go, and you apply the knowledge, and then you take the steps. What the kids today need to understand is that you don't have to be a success by 25, okay? You don't have to, like, have a mansion by 25, although some 25-year-olds do now, right? But you don't have to, okay? And in my opinion, I don't know, the way my life is panning out, right? Because, like, you know, I had to let several doors close. You know, I retired from radio and entertainment. You know, would I go back to radio? No, not at all, ever. Would I go back to entertaining, singing, that kind of thing? I would go back with the orchestra. I would do that. That I would do if there was, you know, if there was a... I don't want to say the word demand, because I was never in demand. I don't ever consider myself to have ever been in demand, right? I don't want to use that strong word. But if there was an opportunity, if there was something that would, you know, that would make it useful, or, you know, there was a reason or whatever, or profitable, that kind of thing, yeah, of course I would, right? But and then on the radio side, no, that chapter is closed, because radio and television are slowly going the way of the dinosaur. Slowly. It's not dead. It's not dead, but it's weak. It's really weak. If I had to put it this way, if I was tethered to a radio station, in other words, if that was my sole source of income, right? If I was making radio money, like now,
oh my God, like, yeah, I would not be able to live like I do at all. Not even a fraction. I would be driving a Jeep Cherokee. So here's where I got that from, right? So this, I was engaged to my fiance right back in the day, and her brother-in-law came from the Philippines, and I had a Jeep Cherokee, right? And it was in good shape and everything. It was in good condition, whatever. And when he saw it, right, he goes, "Oh, that's my dream." And I'm like, "What? Like the Jeep Cherokee is his dream, right?" I said, "Really?" And he goes, "Yeah." He goes, "Bro, that's my dream, Jeep Cherokee." And I had to crack up. I thought that was so funny, you know. And but that was his dream, right? I was driving his dream car, right? The Jeep Cherokee. It was secondhand. It was like, oh man, I had to bundle that thing. I had to, yeah. So for you people not from Hawaii, I had to do a lot of patchwork. Yep. Mm-hmm. But you know, but that's where I was at that chapter, in that chapter, right? And I was doing radio on the side. You know, I was doing $5 an hour radio at the time. And you know, you only really make money on radio when you do morning or afternoon drive. And even that right now, they're not making money. They're not making money. Okay. And they're having to, you know, do other things. The guys that are there and have been there for a long time, you know, they're doing okay. They're making regular occupation type money. Okay. But then, I mean, if I had to survive on that, like, I don't think I could. I couldn't live like this. That's for sure. Cannot. But you see, things have seasons. And things have, you gotta learn to let go of certain things. You can't be afraid to jump from something to something else because something is dying. You gotta be able to close that door. You know, the kids today look at, you know, a lot of stuff, like they put too much pressure on themselves because they know so much, because they have all this information in their head, right? They've seen all this stuff, right? They put immense pressure on themselves. And then by the time they're like, you know, 20 and they're not superstars already. And I don't mean in entertainment. I'm just saying, in the business world, right? Because they're not titans yet. They're not CEOs yet, right? It starts to weigh heavy on these kids. And, you know, they can't figure it out. They're trying to figure it out, but they can't figure it out. But they have all this stuff in their head. And, the knowledge that they have, you know, in their early 20s, man, I don't know. I can't even begin to fathom what it's like to be that advanced. So we have evolved as humans. We have definitely evolved. And it's a good thing. Okay. Now, there's some other things that are not as good. Okay. And I'm going to save the lion's share of this for another podcast. But I will tell you something. In my life coach practice, I specialize in the subconscious mind. And there's three components to this. Okay, there's three components to the human being as far as manifestation goes. There's the subconscious, the superconscious, and the conscious mind. Now, the conscious mind, right? And we went over this before, just a background for people, first timers. Okay, so for you first timers, okay, the conscious mind is your operating software. Okay, now your hard drive is your subconscious. Okay, that's what you can program. Okay, now and you can program your conscious mind too. You can basically you can tame it. Okay, because it starts thinking, it starts getting carried away, and you know, like that, and you can slow it down and you can tame it. Okay, and you can tell it no. I mean, you can say, you know, you get that thought and you can literally go nope, and you know, whatever, move on to another thought. Because I do that all the time. I dismiss thoughts all the time. Because sometimes I get some thoughts and I'm like, whoa, if that went in my subconscious, that's not good, right? So I dismiss it. I'm no. And I snap out of that thought. Now, when you're in alpha state, okay, so alpha state to the everyday guy, daydreaming, okay? When you're in the daydreaming phase, you're in alpha state. That's when you can easily program your subconscious. So, you know, like I used to be in when I was in high school, I used to look out the window And I used to take myself to another place. And in my mind, I was entertaining. In my mind, I was singing and performing and doing all this stuff, right? Fantasy stuff in my head. And it was class time. And the class was quiet. Everybody was studying. I was out the window, like on a stage somewhere, right? And that became my eventuality. That became my life. That materialized, right? But it didn't turn out the way I wanted, right? It turned out a different way. God gives you, God is real, Hawaiians, okay? And God is the super conscious, okay? So the super conscious is the network that's the common thread between all human beings, okay? And then there's the subconscious and then the conscious mind, right? And, you know, people are talking these days about, oh, well, we live in a matrix. We live in a, you know, in a computerized world. We, you know, everything is programmed out, you know, that kind of thing, right? Like we live in a live video game in real time. And I can see how they think that way. I understand the concept. I've listened to Elon Musk talk about it, right? And I gotta say, like, it takes you places. It makes you think, right? And but I see how they mean, and I know, you know, where they're going with it. But yeah, it's amazing what you can do with your subconscious. Okay, so the subconscious, the superconscious, and the conscious mind, once you start working with that and you know what to do with it, and you know, it can severely, like, change your game, like, major. It can change your whole life, okay? And all you got to do is know how to work with it, you know? And here's the thing, right? You get a lot of, I get so many clients, females, that are emotional, like, highly charged emotional females that come to me that leave balanced and like all the anxiety's gone, everything, I mean, you know, that kind of thing. And you guys got to really understand that meditation, affirmations, okay, vocalization, like speaking the dream kind of thing, right? You have to verbalization, you have to verbalize your goals. You have to talk about it, okay? But not to other people, okay? But you have to speak it out loud, okay? So you do your affirmation in the morning, right? Let's say it's, I'm so happy and grateful now that I am 160 pounds. Because maybe you're 200 right now and you want to make that your goal, okay? Then before you go to bed, when you're in that daydreaming alpha state, right? You have to say, you know, something to the effect that, I am so happy and grateful now that I am, you know, whatever, right? Your weight, your desired weight. Okay. And you have to do it for a period of 66 days. Okay. Because it takes 66 days to change a habit. Now, the habit part is, you know, I've been around people that are so easy to read, right? Like I used to work with these guys that would do the same thing, and it like the same, it was like a software program, right? And once you saw one loop of that program, okay, so in other words, once you've been around someone for a while and you see how, you know, how they react to stuff, how they act with things, how they do what they do and whatever, it doesn't take very long for you to map out who they are. And once you know who they are, you have been served, okay? And so what happens though is that these things are so predictable, like it's a science. When you get to work with the subconscious mind a lot and you understand how to program it and you understand what to do with it, then you start looking at other people and you go, oh, okay, well, I see his habits, right? And then pretty soon you stay around, you hang around with somebody else and go, oh, I see his habits. But here's what happens with human beings. They start linking up and syncing, okay, if they do not resist, okay? And what I mean is when people say that, okay, you are the sum total of the five guys you hang out with, okay? Because what happens is, right, like attracts like. Okay, so first of all, you attract because there's some kind of idea, some kind of commonality between you guys. And then you guys start hanging. Now, when you guys start hanging, guess what happens? You guys start linking up, okay? And I'm talking with your mind, okay, with your subconscious. It starts linking up, and pretty soon you guys do the same thing, right? So you do the same thing. Guess what? It becomes a habit. Okay. Now, if you hang out with the same guys for more than 66 days, guess what? A lot of their habits will be your habits. Okay. Because you guys just, you know, humans are impressionable beings, man. You guys have no idea how intelligent humans are. Right. And you're a human. Okay. So get to know yourself, get to know your subconscious, get to know how to program it, get to know how to make life better for yourself and how to manifest, because manifestation happens directly through the subconscious mind. All right. So I know, yeah, we're not doing too much comedy today. Right. But, you guys got Jeep Cherokee. All right. There you go. There you go. Owens. There you go. But here's what happens, right? So when you hang, let's say you hang with the gang, let's call it that, right? And when you hang with the gang, you become part of the clique. You become like the clique. And then the clique, you know, because, you know, the clique-ish people that I've been around, it, I mean, they're so predictable. They're ultimately, like, they ultimately begin to resemble each other. And guess what? That group like that, right? Eventually, yeah, they go their own ways. But while they're with each other, if they do not separate, right? Or if they do not have, if you want to call it self-control, or if you want to call it the discernment to understand that they're linking up, right? Then they're all, you know, they all run together. They all do the same thing. They all live the same way. They all live the same type of life as long as they're hanging, right? And that's why they say that you're the sum total of the five people you hang out with. So anyway, but my point is, right, when you understand this, you can distance yourself from it, right? And it's not like you have to stay away from people. It's like you have to have control over your mind, over your subconscious mind. And that's where all the data is stored. That's where all the junk is. That's what you have to clean out, is your subconscious mind. And that's what you have to learn to program. Now, if you write to me, I'll send you books. I'll help you with that. I'll send you material free of charge. Just shoot me an email. I'll give you a book, okay, to help you. Because more people need to be aware of this. Yeah, here's why. Because so many people are in therapy right now, right? And I'm like, what? Therapy? And I'm like, no, you can do your own therapy, okay? You and God, okay? There's a direct link between you and the superconscious, okay? It's going up, okay? It's subconscious, conscious, superconscious, like that, okay? It's your subconscious mind, your conscious mind that's alert and thinking, right? Because you are awareness. Okay, and that's a whole different podcast, Owens. That's not a podcast, Owens. But you are awareness. You are aware that you're doing things, right? So where does awareness go when it's done? Like when your physical body is done, where does awareness go? Where do you go? Where does your energy go? Because your energy, it's going to be the same, okay? You're not going to be 100 years old and like hardly any energy inside, okay, unless you're sick or yeah, whatever. But aren't you the same right now at your age that you were when you were 15, 16, 17? Okay, think, Owens. Yeah, think about them. Check them out, Owens. Check them, Owens. Okay, yeah, of course. And the body is the only thing that gets old. And one day your body will not be able to transport you anymore. But you are the energy inside. Okay, and the kingdom is within, and Jesus Christ taught us that. Now, this is not church, okay? I'm just saying Jesus said that. Krishna also said that. Buddha also said that. All these guys said that. All these guys throughout history, okay? And the time periods are very different, and they all said the same thing, and they're all pointing to the same thing, and they're all pointing within, because everything happens from within. Nothing happens from without. Nothing. Okay, so when you take a look, you know, just check them out in the neighborhood. Just go look downtown. Look at all the office buildings and everything, right? Everything you see, with the exception of nature, was created by someone else's in here. Someone else's inside, okay? Now, we were all born with infinite intelligence. Infinite, okay? And I'll give you an example of how it worked in my life, right? Is like my uncle, my mentor, that we started talking about in the beginning of the podcast. the day I dropped out from college, I felt like, oh, I'm gonna miss out in life now. I'm like, I'm dropping out of college. Okay, this is gonna shut the door on me for success in the future. I'm like, you know. But what happened was, I was offered this job at a radio station that I thought would change my life, and it did. It really did. Sorry, always I gotta drink water once in a while. I gotta take that swig once in a while, otherwise. But no, it changed my life. It really did. You know, and I left college for that, because in college I was like, you know, I was taking writings, I was making straight A's. I was doing really good. Okay. But there was nothing there. Like nothing I was interested in was in college. But the only thing that really happened, and I gotta say this, I got a lot of respect in college. I got a lot of respect from the kids in college, because I was an old kid in college. I went to college, I think I was 34 years old. 33. I was 33 years old when I went to college. And I was around, you know, young kids, right? And these guys are sharp. And we were learning how to design DVDs in the lab. That's what I started doing. The semester was over, and then I dropped out because I was offered this job at a radio station. And I thought, when I told my uncle about like dropping out of college, like my uncle would tell me like, oh man, you're in college. Yeah. You started, you know, learning how to design DVDs. That's, you know, at the time that was the future, right? The internet just turned on. It was called the World Wide Web. It just turned on. And this guy, and it was in college that this guy showed me, right? And that's where I found out about it. He goes, hey, you ever heard of the World Wide Web? And I'm like, no, what is that? And he goes, you want to see it? And I'm like, yeah. And he pulled up this picture. All right, this is, okay, hope there's no kids listening. But he pulled up this picture of a girl in this donkey. All right, that's all I'm going to say. That's all you get, Hawaiians. That's all you get. And I'm like, what the heck, you know? And I'm like, what is this? And so my idea of what it was, you know, and he goes, oh, no, you can get anything on here. You can just punch in anything and get all kinds of stuff. Apparently, he was into donkeys. Apparently. But then I left, right, because I took this job at a radio station because there was no entertainment programs in college. There was no recording studio programs like they have now, engineering programs. You know, I would have probably done that. You know, there was no, you know, music administration courses to learn the music business, you know, from the business aspect of the music business, you know. And I worked with Hawaii's greatest star I hung out. I didn't really work with him, but I saw him work, right? And he was my mentor in the way that he answered all of my questions, like my stupid, silly little, you know, 18-year-old questions, right? And I hung out for 4 years around him, and I saw all kinds of stuff. I mean, and certain things I cannot repeat, but I mean, you know, I'm just saying. But I saw how it worked from the inside, right? And one thing he always told me was, this is the music business. And he always put emphasis on business, right? And at first, you know, I was 18, right? I didn't know what he meant, okay? But I learned down the road. I learned why. He said, it's the music business. Because what you see on the surface, right, has very little to do with the back end. It very, very little. It's a show, okay? It's something that is placed there for you to see, okay? The back end is a whole different world, Hawaiians, okay? But there was nothing in college like that for me. So I left, right? And then that set the stage for me getting in. It was like boot camp when I went to this next job, but it was a good job. And it was like boot camp for me. And guess what? During that job is where I was praying to God every day, like, please, God, let me do my music. Because I got to that job and I thought, well, if I'm at that radio station, like all the producers are at that radio, they go to that radio station. All these guys in the industry are at that radio station. They're, you know, everything, the hub is right there at that radio station. And I'm like, if I'm there, I can get discovered. I could do my music. I could get to know these guys. I can make friends. I can do that, right? Wrong. Very wrong. Like, so wrong. Oh, man, that was so wrong. That was my idea of how it was going to go down. Well, I went through boot camp, right? And I resigned. And when I did, I gave everybody a leg and everything, right? And I went to this other place. And a guy that knew me for, he kind of, you know, we were acquaintances for years. We didn't really hang, we never hung out together or anything, but we knew each other, right? And he offered me a chance to sit in for somebody, and then boom, right? And then everything fell together. Everything came together like, okay, now you can do your music. And I was, but I was praying, like, because I was stuck in a production studio. I was doing, you know, production day in, day out, whatever, commercials to commercials, everything for everybody else. Everything for everybody else, like, oh, this is going to help so-and-so's career, this is going to, you know, whatever, so-and-so's product, everything's for everything else, right? That was my job. And I did my job, right? And I was always, you know, as I was doing my job, I prayed and prayed, oh, please, God, let me do my music, let me do this, let me do it, let me get out there, just this, let me, give me one chance. I just need one chance, you know? And I was like, just come on, God. Like, you know, I was like that, right? And then boom, right? The third day that I was doing the substitution thing, right? And I told you guys before, right? The third day I got that message. Somehow it wasn't a voice. It wasn't like that. It wasn't like the movies. It was a feeling. And the intuition, the intuitive thought was like, you better sing like your life depends on it. And I started performing at that level. And I tell you what, Hawaiians, it took all the energy I had in my body. And I just pushed all that energy out. That mana that we call it in Hawaii, the Hawaiians call that mana. Okay. And that's that magic that you have in you. Okay. That essence, that spirit, soul, energy, whatever you want to call it. But that's what that is. And that's what I pushed out, right? And that's what started attracting people. And that's what, you know, the charisma is. That's what charisma is. When you can share that, a good example of it is William Tongi right now, who's out there, right? Touching people. This guy touches people. And I'm so happy that he's getting where he wants to be because he's touching people. Now, that being said, you got to be careful what you wish for, okay? Because I got to tell you, Hawaiians, my dreams happened. Not the way I wanted, right? I wasn't being produced by the record companies, you know. But then I didn't have to go through the games that everybody else did. I didn't have to play that game, right? I had a different game. It's called a wedding and party business. And then, you know, we were just as visible as the entertainers and you know, making the rounds. A lot of the entertainers were playing parties that I was. And so I was considered one of them. And I wasn't. I really wasn't. I didn't get, you know, produced. I didn't get 35 CDs produced by a record company or anything crazy like that. No, nothing like that. And these guys were so much better than me. And these guys were like doing, you know, Hawaiian music, reggae, that kind of thing. And that just wasn't my thing, right? I was doing Sinatra. But I got to live what I wanted to do. I got to do shows and I got to choose and put together my own show. So I was the creative director, right? Well, me and Brother Wayne. And I got to do what I wanted, right? So the blessing, this whole blessing that happened was that I got to do what I wanted to do, when I wanted to do it, how much and how little I wanted to do. If I didn't want a job, I don't take the contract. I could say, we're booked. You know, and we're going to cruise that weekend, right? Or whatever. We're going to just kick back or, you know, record in the studio or whatever. I had a choice. I had a choice of what to do. And that's a blessing. Because a lot of the guys I saw, when they signed up, they didn't even know exactly what they signed up for. They knew kind of the overview. But man, a lot of them went to rehab. A lot of them got burnt out. A lot of them, you know, and I see them today. They have nothing. I mean, you know, very little, very little. I'm not saying absolutely zero. I'm just saying you have to have in my mind, right? You have to have something to show. You have to have something to show for it. And God will reward you. Okay. So your superconscious, right, will reward you. if you take the baby steps, right? If you program your subconscious, because that's exactly what I was doing. You know, and there was a lot of times where I could have go hung out with a gang. I could have wasted my time. I could have, you know, whatever. But no, I was programming my subconscious with work. And we would just work like fiends in my recording studio that I built in my house. And we would churn out volumes and volumes of work. And we have, yeah, I still have, I'm still supposed to put out one more CD this year. I was supposed to do it last year, and we changed directions. And I had to, I had to work on a lot of marketing stuff. So I didn't get to put that out. But later on this year, one more CD is coming out. And then I think we have, I think we have three more after that. So there's five out there already. There's five out on, if you just go on Spotify and plug my name in there, and you'll get all the music. But that's not, you know, I'm not flexing. I'm just saying that you can do whatever it is you want to do. Okay, but when you end up doing it, first of all, you have to recognize that, okay, this is it. This is your time. A lot of people don't recognize their time until it's gone. And when it's gone, because trust me, Hoynes, when I had my time, the only thing I remember is that third day. And I go, wow, bro, this is your time. Go. Right? This is your time, Hoynes. You know, and I had to do what I had to do. And I gave it my all, okay? Now, along the way, was there drama? Was there haters? Oh, how many? Come on, plenty. Okay, but that was besides the point, because I was getting my dream, okay? And before you know it, Hawaiians, 15 years down the road, the dream came to an end, you know? And Brother Wayne passed away, and after that, like, I lost the drive to perform. I kind of lost it. And because it wasn't the same, right? You know, it's just not the same. And so having, you know, been through all of that and the process and whatever, that's what the young kids want to hear. They want to hear your stories, you old timers, okay? You guys that are in your late 30s and 40s that have already done something substantial, pass it on to the 19-year-olds, the 18-year-olds, the 17-year-olds. Talk story with them, share. Because the only way you guys are going to get ahead, right, in as far as a species, as a society, is to share, okay? Because when you share, you care, okay? You're exhibiting care, and when you do that, you're helping other people get ahead. You know, there's two kinds of people in the world, okay? I'm gonna tell you two kinds to me anyway. The kind of guy that gets his success and then kicks the ladder out from under him, keeps all the secrets and dies with it. And the second type of guy is the guy that climbs the ladder and then goes, hey, guys, I know the secret, bro. Come here. We'll do them. And then he pulls everybody else up, right? Yeah. There you go, Hawaiians. There you go. All right. Oh, sorry. I got to go. Oh, hey, want to say thank Better Andy and Sister Jerry and Island Club and Spa, our sponsors. Also, Voice Master Family of Service Companies. And Darren Chinin and his music at AFMHawaiiMusic.com. Yeah. Hey, until next time, I'm Junior saying, hey, help your neighbor, train your subconscious, and praise God for your haters, because without them, you're nothing. Hey, until next time, I'm Junior saying mahalo, and out!